Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we celebrate the feast of Saint Ignatius of Antioch. And you might say, and who might he be? Saint Ignatius of Antioch wrote very, very early in Christianity. He wrote a great deal, and I really would urge you to look him up in the Office of Readings that comprises the daily office that's prayed by priests all over the world and religious communities, and many lay people also pray the divine office. And there are many readings in there from Saint Ignatius of Antioch. He was the third bishop of Antioch in Syria. He suffered martyrdom in the Roman amphitheater around 107. As he traveled under armed guard from Antioch to Rome, he wrote to the Christian brethren unambiguously proclaiming the apostolic faith. He was dying for the faith. He was going to be martyred for the faith. And he preached it even as they were taking him from Antioch to Rome. He wrote to the Christian brethren unambiguously proclaiming the apostolic faith. For Ignatius, Christ is my God, and truly born of the Virgin. The Eucharist is the flesh of Christ, and the medicine of immortality. Unity for him is paramount. Quote, as many as are of God and of Jesus Christ are also with the bishop. Of Ignatius, seven letters, Blessed John Henry Newman said this about those seven letters. It is hardly too much to say that almost the whole system of Catholic doctrine may be discovered, at least in outline, in the course of these seven letters. Read Ignatius of Antioch. You want to get a tight, succinct, clear, powerful, inspiring summary of the teaching of the Church. Ignatius of Antioch. The first reading for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you once lived, following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh. So look right here. Paul to the Ephesians, all of us once lived in the desires of our flesh. All of us lived in them. We all live in them, but live in them and that they were the priority. They were paramount. They were all that constituted life, was to fulfill the desires of the flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. And we were by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy. Here we are again. Brothers and sisters, we were dying even while we thought we were living because our souls were dead in sin. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Many people will say, oh, well, God, I gave up heaven a long time ago. I could never get there. Look at my life. But it says clearly here in Scripture, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. If we accept, these are my words now, if we accept that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus rose victorious from death, he conquered death once and for all for us, but we need to believe him and therefore listen to him and follow him. But if we do, we will be seated with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Have you begun to know the immeasurable riches of his grace? It's there, brothers and sisters. It's there for the taking. But we have to decide. I want to put aside the desires of the flesh and choose to follow him. That is the desires of the flesh that lead us to sin. I need to say they're no longer my priority. I am no longer going to listen to them. I'm going to be tempted left, right, and center, and sometimes I will fall. But that's not the direction of my life, because I know that Christ, who saved me from eternal death, will raise me up, will accompany me, will help me to overcome the natural desires of the flesh, the sinful desires of the flesh. He will help me. And I don't mean help me just, oh, Jesus, help me. But he will really walk with us when we say, Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to be with you forever. Help me to walk these years on this earth in such a way that when I die, I will see you and I will live in everlasting glory with you. Please, please don't put off another day making the kinds of decisions. Look at whatever it is that most turns you away from God. What are the desires in your flesh that most captivate you, that you have the hardest time overcoming? Then bring them to Christ and say, Lord, you died to set me free from this sin, from this temptation. You died for this. And I want to receive the grace that you gave me by your death on the cross, that I too might overcome my sin and that I might live with you forever. Going to the Lord every day, sometimes when you're trying to break a pattern of sin, it's many times a day. Don't be put off by that. Just engage it and go for it and say, I choose you, Jesus Christ, over this desire of my flesh. I choose you. Come and impart to me the strength and the grace to follow you. And he will. Paul goes on to say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast, for we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. He's made a way for us, but we have free will. The choice is ours. Are we going to follow Christ or the desires of the flesh? Psalm 100 tells us, the Lord made us. We belong to him. So know that the Lord is God. He made us. His we are. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for he is good. The Lord whose kindness endures forever. It's never too late. It's never too late to turn to Christ. He will receive you. No matter what your sin, no matter what the past, he will receive you. If you come to him repenting for the past. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And he replied to him, Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? And then he said to the crowd, Take care, to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Look at that. How much value do you place on your possessions? I'm a good person because I have this. Or I'm a person of influence because I have that. Or I have enough to put food on the table. I have a decent job. Those are good things. But do you put your trust in them? Or do you put your trust in God? Do you obey the dictates of guarding your money, your possessions? Do you do what you need to guard them over and above what you would give to God? When push comes to shove, is it God or me? Where does my emphasis lie? Where is my faith? Is it in Christ or is it in what I can attain in this world, what I can see, what I can grab hold of? Where is my faith? Then he told them a parable. there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' You know, I've got everything in place now. I've got my security. I've got my bank account is healthy. Savings are in good shape, and the interest rates are good. And I have everything in place." No, brothers and sisters, no. Am I ready to see the face of God? Am I ready to give an account to God for what I have done with what he has given me? That's the key piece. And the world will tell you it totally different. Don't listen to the world. Don't take your values from the world. Take your values from the Word of God. Take your values from the teaching of the church based on the Word of God. Jesus is very clear here. You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. God is faithful. God will utterly forgive us again and again and again. Keep coming to him. He will forgive us. At the same time, we need to take a look at what are my priorities, not what I would like my priorities to be. What are they? What changes do I need to make so that my life on earth here reflects that I know my destination and I'm living my life in accord with eternity? I'm living my life in such a way that I can spend all eternity with God. Who am I living for? What am I living for? The world is passing away, brothers and sisters. Those who compliment you now, if you find yourself in such a position where, oh my, this person is so good in this area, that area, they make a very good salary, and they're this and they're that, they're prominent in our community, they're to be respected. Why? Are they respected because they are true Christians? Or are they respected because they have the world's goods at their hands? Brothers and sisters, we really need to see that we have been infected by the world's values. Scripture tells us, live in the world, be thankful for what the world can give you, but don't be of it. And that takes courage, and that takes a life of prayer, that God may lead us all to his kingdom forever. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.